We're still talking about prayer tonight because prayer's the most important thing. And it's the thing that I'll be brave enough to say none of us do enough of.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the reasons that happens is just a lack of understanding of what God wants from us. And I will say that the majority of my prayers are not more than a sentence. I'm not a paragraph or page prayer guy. Well, we know you are, Connie.
Oh, snap.
But she also talks to us in paragraphs. You know, when I talk to you, I don't talk to you in paragraphs. How you doing? It's good to see you. Everything okay? Okay. Well, we'll keep Connie just like she is. Don't mess with Connie. Don't change her. Just leave her alone. But yet we think when we get to talk to God, we think that God wants to hear paragraphs and pages and on and on and on and on and on and on. When all he wants you to do, and the Bible confirms this because he says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean paragraphs. That means be in continuous prayer throughout the day. Your best days will be days that you pray throughout the day. I don't even make a big deal out of grace. I say, thank you, God, for this food, or thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for me, or thank you, Lord. That's it. I don't get, you know, I say probably, I don't know how many prayers a day I say. I say a lot of prayers a day, but they're short. Every now and then, it'll be a little longer. If there's something serious I need to talk to God about, it could be longer. It can last for an hour if it has to. But I'm talking about on the average or at the most of the times, it's just acknowledging God. He wants to be two things, acknowledged and included.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things that God's looking for you, to acknowledge him and to include him in your life. You know, he says, I know the numbers of hair on your head. That's how involved I am in your life. That's what he's trying to say, is he doesn't have a hair fetish.
Oh my.
He's trying to tell you that he wants to be involved in your life. That's what he's saying there. I want to be involved in your life. And so I even know how many hairs you have. And so we would pray more often if you talked to God normally and you didn't have to make a spectacle of what you're doing. You know, and we talked about that the other day about, you know, Marisol threw herself under the bus real good. I love her for that. She's got more bus tire tracks than anybody I've ever met. And she gave them all to herself. Yes, Shannon, that's correct. But, you know, it's not, you don't have to get into, don't try to get holy to pray. God already knows you're not holy. Hey. He already knows, right? Father God, bless me, Father God, for I have sinned, Father God. And Father God, I come before you asking forgiveness, Father God. Where did this holiness come from? I saw you 30 minutes ago. You weren't holy then.
There was no Father God in it 30 minutes ago, was there?
What happened? Where's this transformation? God's not looking for a transformation. Oh, God's looking for you.
Yep.
Just the way you are. He says, come to me just the way you are.
Yes.
And you don't have to go into all of that. You could say, Lord, I'm having a great day. Thank you for the blessings. Move on. You can come back in 20 minutes and pray again. It's only a sentence. You're done. And you keep grounded. You keep a foundation under you for the day instead of trying to go into this spiel that you only go into once or twice a week anyway. It's not working for you, right? I hope I'm making some sense. I'm not trying to be critical. I just want to help you with a better prayer life.
Yes.
You know, I'm very fortunate in a lot of ways that I have people that call me for prayer a lot that you've never met, but yet they call me for prayer on a regular basis. And I get to pray for them and pray with them. And, you know, it's why that on when we have prayer nights that I'm so on you guys about praying. Because, you know, if you won't swim in your own pool, you're not going to go to the YMCA and swim in that pool. If you have a pool and you won't swim in it, right? I have a pool in Fort Lauderdale. I have a 28,000-gallon pool. But if I don't swim in it, then I'm not going to go somewhere else and swim, right? Does this make sense? Right? I'm not going to go to the Y and swim. I'm not going to go to the school and swim. I'm just not going to go anywhere and swim if I won't swim in my own pool. If you won't pray in your own church, then you're not going to go anywhere else and pray. That's just the reality of it. Right? And so it's important that you learn to pray in church because Jesus said this is a house of prayer. He didn't say it's a house of preaching, and he didn't say it's a house of worship. I mean, he could have said those things because it's true, it is, but the main focus to Jesus is you communicating with him. It's more important than anything else. So if you won't pray in your own church, then you're not going anywhere else and praying. You're not going home and praying for your family. You're not going home and you're not praying for strangers on the street. Some of the biggest blessings I ever got were praying for people that I didn't know or strangers that I just got into a conversation and ended up praying for them. Mm-hmm. There's some kind of chemical released in the brain when that happens because you leave feeling really great when you've helped somebody in prayer that you didn't even know. There's something very special about it. And honestly, most of us don't have the courage to do that. But when you maintain a steadiness of prayer throughout the day, guess what God's doing? He's talking back to you all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start hearing things like, go pray for this person. And I'm still haunted, and some of you might know this, I've said it once or twice before, in the last 10 years, but one time God told me to pray for somebody and I didn't do it, and I'm haunted by it. And I was at Disney World, and the child was in a wheelchair. And God said, go pray for that child, and I didn't do it. And it haunts me to this day what could have happened? What could have been? I don't know. You know, but most of the time, you've heard stories of me turning Cody's into a prayer house. I've done it. Was anybody with me that night? Who was with me? Rob was with me?
Me, Jim.
You, Jim. Who else? Anybody else?
Eugenia.
Eugenia? That was on, wasn't it? We don't care.
Everybody stopped eating.
Yeah.
Huh? Were talking loud?
Oh, yeah.
No, he was whispering. Have you ever known him to whisper? Your comment just reached me. I'm like, no.
Middle of the restaurant, Marisol, I was standing up, and it was on. Because God, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what I prayed about. I don't even know why I was praying for this lady. I didn't know her. Was it a lady I was praying for?
Yeah, she was leaving to go back home, and they were having issues.
Something happened.
Mm-hmm. That's why they were going back home, was she was having issues.
Sadly, how many would do that? You know? And so, church is a training ground. You're here to be trained so that you can go out and do the work of the church wherever God needs you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I played softball, I could play most every position. So it was wherever the coach needed me. It didn't matter to me where he put me. I typically stayed at shortstop, but sometimes I'd be on second base, first base, or third base. Now and then in the outfield. Didn't matter to me. Where do you need me? Well, it's the same thing in this team. This is a team. This is, I'm on God's team. And wherever he needs me to do whatever he needs me to do, he's expecting a willing vessel, right? And so I've got to be a willing vessel, whether it's to counsel on Thursday night or it's to pray for somebody in the middle of Cody's. Doesn't really matter to me. I just go to that position and do that thing. But see, I had good training. You know, I was trained, my pastor trained me well. And so it's important to push past your comfort zone. Because once you get past it, your zone changes. And all of a sudden, that's nothing. You know, I didn't start off by going into the middle of Cody's and praying. I had to work my way up to that. You know, I'm not critical that you say you wouldn't go do it. I'm not critical because you got to work your way up to stuff like that. That just don't happen just like that. You know, you got to work your way up to it. So, but we want to be the best Christian we can be to get the most out of it and get the most in the future that's going to come out of it. And it's not a spectator sport where you're supposed to sit on the sidelines. What happened at church? Church, it started, I'm probably going too long.
It's okay.
Are you all right? Started years and years ago because the church did not want to educate the people. They didn't even let the people read the Bible for themselves. Okay? So they wanted to keep you in the dark and they wanted to keep you dependent upon them.
Right.
But today's Christianity, it's not about keeping you dependent on us. It's about equipping you to do what we do. Because you have the ability to do the exact same thing that I do. I don't have anything special that sets me apart, except that I'm just, perhaps I've been more faithful and more willing. And that when you step up, then God will grant you the same abilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for me. It's for all of us. And we have the ability to set people free. That's what Jesus came, is to set them free from whatever it is that has them in bondage. It could be a health issue, could be a financial issue, could be a spiritual issue, a mental issue, a relationship issue, emotional issue. I don't know what their issue is, but we have that ability to set them free because the Jesus in you will do the same thing Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you're willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, then it's not going to matter. All right, I'll stop so you can start.
Okay. God gave me this revelation. Bishop always talks about how faith activates God and fear activates Satan. So I was meditating on that, and God said to me, prayer increases faith, which activates God, and cancels fear, which deactivates Satan. Why wouldn't you want to pray? Why wouldn't you want to pray? If you knew that your prayer was gonna cancel every assignment that Satan had for you, and believe you me, he has a list of them for you every single morning. But it's a small list because it still works. There's no reason to increase the list. It just takes one thing every day until you get over that one thing. Just one thing every day. Every day. So we left off at where murder begins in the heart. We were talking about murder and making yourself right before you come down to the altar to pray. Because if you can come down to the altar and pray in a state of chaos and confusion, and you're angry at Sandy back here, not Sandy Sandy, but Sandy, just the name, that's just the name I chose. If you're angry at her and you can come up here and you can pray, I wonder what you're praying about. Really do. Because God's looking at you going, yeah, what? Huh? Can't hear you. I shut you off. Go make it right with Sandy. Come back to me and we'll talk. We were looking at these were the signs of that type of issue.
Self-pity, jealousy, envy, isolation, rejection, harmful words, sometimes leading up to physical violence, either against yourself or others, convoluted thinking, pride, and resentment. These are blocks to having clear communication.
Yes.
You know that when you communicate with each other, the communication's a lot clearer when you're not at odds or there's no animosity between the two of you, whoever the two are. But when you're both angry, weird things start to happen. Like you start hearing things that weren't said.
That's true.
And you take other things that were said and you twist them and you take them wrong. And the communication gets very cloudy, gets very convoluted. It to the point where it's best not to be talking right now. And I have learned a lot of times that I have to go cool down before I talk to somebody. And I do that a lot, huh?
Yes, sir.
Present company excluded. No, there are times I tell you I'm not talking to you right now.
There have been many times you've told me, get away from me, I'm not talking to you right now. Just leave me alone. You know, we laugh at hearing things. You can be in such a, you don't even have to be mad or angry. You can just have that one gnawing issue that will make you hear things. And I'm gonna use Carrie, for instance. When we did the play, Carrie passed by me and he said something. And I promise you what I heard was, I'm not doing this anymore. I immediately came to him and I said, what is wrong? And he looked at me like I'd lost my ever-loving mind. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, dude, you just walked by me and you said you're not doing this anymore. And he busted out laughing and he said, Linda, that's not what I said. But I was having an issue in my life that's what I heard him say. Maybe it was wishful thinking that's what I wanted to say. But, you know, am I telling the truth? But I came to him. I didn't go to Chris. I didn't go to Bishop. I didn't go to Sandy. We'll bring her back in the picture. I went to him. That's what Scripture says. Go to him. Go to the person that you have your issue with, and then everything happens for the good. Now we've seen examples of murder in the heart. One must understand that reconciliation also begins in the heart. It is not a mind concept. Because if you think you're going to reconcile in the mind, you are sadly mistaken. It has to come from the heart. You can say whatever you want to say. That right, Bishop? Mm-hmm. How many promises have I made that I'm not going to do it again? I promise. I swear. I promise. Okay. Not even minutes later. He's just looking at me, shaking his head. I'm serious because it wasn't a change in the heart. There's a change in the mind. You cannot reconcile with the change in the mind. It has to come from the heart. And out of the heart is what the mouth speaks. Is your heart healthy enough to reconcile and forgive the ones who hurt you? Is it? It's no fun to say I'm sorry when you didn't do anything wrong.
Absolutely.
And it's no fun to say, will you forgive me, when you weren't the one who started it. But you're more mature in God when you can do that and move forward. Jesus gave us a perfect example of a heart's attempt to reconcile as he hung in pain on the cross.
Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Meanwhile, they're throwing dice to see who would win Jesus' clothing. Jesus asked for their forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
When he was the one being crucified. Did he start it? No. He instigated? No. Was he at fault? No. And yet he still asked for their forgiveness. My pastors sometimes get so mad at me when I make them go apologize.
Nah.
And they're like, but I didn't do anything. Uh-huh. Now go apologize. You want to be right? Or do you want to have a congregation? Get out there. Do what you got to do. We used to have a pastor here that would lose his mind when I made him go apologize. And I had to make him go a lot. You can imagine who I'm talking about. But it was always, you go apologize right now. Yeah, go. Because you have to care about somebody's feelings more than you care about being right. And my pastor taught me that. He said, whenever there's an issue, I just apologize because it's just not worth it. And he did. Hey, I'm sorry. That's a great proof that there's a Jesus in you. Because
mm-hmm.
Jesus did it, and now you can do it.
Yep.
You know, when you can't do something like that, that's also proof that you're void of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit only says what Jesus tells him to do, say.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Jesus is in you, you have to start acting like him.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, you have nothing to prove that he's in you. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. If you don't start to possess some of those qualities, and hopefully all of them, then there's a problem. There's a disconnect somewhere, and you're on the wrong road thinking you're on the right road, which is going to be very shocking to you when the day comes and you find out that there was more to it than what I thought. And that if I had Jesus in my heart, I would have begun to act like Jesus. And although none of us are going to act like Jesus 100% all the time, foolproof, but we're getting closer. You should be getting closer and closer and closer.
For the record, I've only had to apologize 4 times verbally and 2 times written. He will make you write a letter too. He will make you write the letter 4 times verbally and 2 times written in 10 years. I think that's good. Knowing me, I think that's really good.
But why are you keeping count?
But listen, Bishop, on the other hand, because
I can't even refute that because I don't know how
no,
many.
No, listen,
times.
I can
seems
tell
like
you
a lot more.
I can tell no to you maybe. I apologize to you all the time, but no, I say that because when it happens to you, it is a lesson you will not forget. And most of those times, it was not. Just saying. Okay, if Jesus, yeah, it's a lesson. And if you've never apologized to somebody for something you didn't do, you'll never know. It actually can be very liberating. It really can. You want to start with me? Okay. If Jesus could take the time, now listen, he was hanging on a cross. He was not having a party. He was hanging on a cross. And he was asking for forgiveness for people who were doing him wrong. And if he can do that and ask for forgiveness in his state, my friend, there is absolutely no reason that you can't. If he can do that in that state, there's no reason, there's no excuse to continue a useless feud, but every reason to reconcile with your offender. You know, sometimes our offender really didn't know they offended us. We were just having a bad day, jacked sideways from our own stupidity, okay? Mainly, I'm talking to me, for my own stupidity, or I've got on my soapbox and Bishop's come by and jerked it out from underneath me and didn't say he was sorry. No, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, the things that we do to get jacked sideways, no one knows, because you come in here and you put on a smile and you walk around like everything's okay.
It's hilarious to me when I have somebody very upset. And the person they're upset doesn't have a clue.
Yeah. What did I do?
They're like oblivious. They're like, what? What happened? I did what? I said what? They're mad at me for what? They don't even have a clue. The other person's been stewing for 2 weeks, and the other person don't have a clue that there's a problem.
Like, I can't tell you how many people, and Shannon's one of them. We talked about it one time. Christy and I have talked about it one time, too. How they thought I was just Satan incarnate. Am I telling the truth, girls? Am I right?
Not quite, close.
Listen, y'all had y'all's talks over there at that blue house, I promise you. But they didn't know me. As a matter of fact, if I can quote Shannon, she said to me, "You're not the person that I've heard people say you are." Because she come in and she was jacked sideways, and something I said or done just really threw her over, and she went everywhere. Yes? Let's look at 5:22, Matthew 5:22.
Maybe I'll get you to write her a letter.
Yeah. Me, right? I'd write Shannon a letter. She might not want to read it. But
here is the even harder truth. Anyone who is angry with his brother will be judged for his anger. Anyone who taunts his friend, speaks contemptuously toward him, or calls him loser or fool or scum will have to answer to the high court. And anyone who calls his brothers a fool may find himself in the fires of hell. Well, basically, when it says you might find yourself in the fires of hell because God's trying to tell you you're on the wrong path.
Yes.
You're not on the path. It's not saying that that's going to send you to hell, but he's saying you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong path. You're not exhibiting God in you, and there may not be a God in you. You know, we think that, and this is why the scripture is here, because we think that God's not involved in our little argument, our little tantrum, our little anger. And or we think that, you know, we're so right. And usually in any feud, both sides think they're right 99% of the time. Both sides think they're right.
Oh, my. I hear letters coming. Oh, my.
We think we're right because we cannot see the 360 view and we only see from our perspective. And yes, from your perspective, you're right. But there is another perspective, and that's what the other person's looking through, and they think they're right too. And sometimes neither one's right or wrong, and sometimes one is very wrong. It does happen that somebody's just lost their mind, and mm-hmm. they're really wrong. It does happen. But God wants you to know that you go back to, again, the thing that God detests, hates the most is I like the one version that says a troublemaker in the family.
Message.
You know, the one who causes trouble amongst the congregation, mm-hmm. amongst the Christianity, and our congregation isn't just this church. The Christian congregation is all Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And so you really displease God because God's trying to draw more people in.
Mm-hmm.
And if they come in and they see you and some of your foolishness, and for those who don't know, I will lose it if you have a problem in the sanctuary. That's very loud and vocal. I will, all bets off at that point for me. I don't do well with that. No excuse for that. If you get into an argument in this sanctuary full of people, I wasn't going there. That's that bus driving. Hear it? Beep, beep.
Yeah.
Huh?
Forget the bus. 18-wheeler.
You don't know the harm you're doing. You don't know how many people are hurt and harmed and affected in a bad way and causes them to turn away from the church or turn away from God. Nobody wants to come here and not feel safe. Right? You want to feel safe if you mm-hmm. come here. You don't want to think you're going to come here and get yelled at, ganged up on, you know, whatever. You want to feel safe when you come here. And so what happens is if we have an altercation in the sanctuary, people don't feel safe. They feel very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they don't want to be here for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we work so hard for every soul. You have no idea how hard we work for one soul, right? Every soul is important to us. And you know, they come, they go, they come, they go. And we're working to find that place where they mm-hmm. root. And they don't come and go, that they stay. And we want to create an environment. It's amazing how many people don't feel like they're liked or loved in the church, even in a church that's as huggy and lovey as this one. But I'll hear comments like that. And for the most part, it's in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ever get over it sometimes. But God God's very involved, and you're going to pay a price for it. It's not for free. You're not getting a free pass.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know how you're going to pay the price, but you're going to be judged for it. Now, doesn't say that's eternal judgment. That could be judgment right now. Okay, there's judgment right now. Okay, and so it doesn't do well for you. And then I always tell you this too. The very person you're angry with probably had your blessing. And you just messed it up. Now you're not getting it.
Mm-hmm. So I ask you, if your heart is in such chaos and confusion as what the scripture's telling you, how are you praying? How are you overcoming the anger and the resentment and the hurt to even put two words together, much less be thankful to God for what he's done for you? So we're going to climb on top of a soapbox.
Many of us forget about the God factor in life. We forget what he is trying to do for us or what he has already done for us, because we are blinded by Satan's snares to redirect us into utter confusion, causing our prayers to fall empty to the ground. When you begin to pray a lot throughout the day, you start to realize that God's with you. And there's a lot of stupid things you won't do anymore when you realize God's standing with you.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't do it. You just know better. That's one of the benefits of praying a lot. You start to realize that God is with you. You know, God has our day planned. A righteous man's steps are ordered.
Yes.
Okay? As the scripture. And he has a plan for you today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's already planned out by God.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us will walk in that plan? Because he planned it, we still have free will. And we're not necessarily going to walk out our plan.
Mm-mm.
Right? And we're going to be faced with all kinds of stuff tomorrow. I mean, people are going to set us off. We're going to go to the grocery store and something's going to happen. Or we're going to go to the parking lot and something's going to happen. Or we're going to go to the doctor's office and the lady behind the counter is going to be nasty and rude. And, you know... And how does God want us to respond?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've been praying, you're going to respond well. But if you haven't been praying, the old you is going to come up and you're going to start defending yourself instead of walking where God wants you to walk. Maybe he was trying to show that person. Maybe you're there to show that person something. And you're showing them something, but it's not what God wanted you to show them.
Talking about Satan's snares to redirect us in utter confusion, causing our prayers to fall empty to the ground, and then what Bishop just said. There was a time that, by the way, he doesn't have to be in the sanctuary to know that you yelled in the sanctuary, just telling you from experience. He was actually in Fort Lauderdale when I got snagged into that. He was in Fort Lauderdale. Okay. But let me tell you this. I say that because there was an issue between me and someone else. And the conversation, I'm loud. Even Bishop tells me every now and then, you need to use your inside voice. Be quiet. Talk softer. So... if you really make me angry, I can get really loud.
From Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I told on myself. But anyway, I went and called him before anybody else did. I went and threw myself under the bus. Anyway, the issue involved now from being two of us to being four of us. Okay. Satan was trying to redirect everything to keep utter confusion going on when I went down the hallway, and now it became six of us. Then it was eight of us. The one person that got caught in it that could have walked away from God, I went and I apologized to face to face. That person became my best friend in this church. There wasn't anything in if I breathed it, they took care of it. Am I right? But if I wouldn't have been made go apologize, would have lost that person.
Is that one of your six?
Yeah, that's one of my six. Actually, there was more than that probably. Anyway. Just saying that because it's very important that we be mindful of people who are around us. Let me tell you, Lake Placid is a small place. And because you in the grocery store on the aisle and there ain't nobody there but you and Sandy, don't mean Joyce ain't standing on the other side listening to what you're talking about. And Joyce is going to run go tell everybody, Connie said. Who's Connie? Connie, you know, she goes to that Working Faith Ministry. Is that Connie? Yeah? And it gets all over town, and then Bishop gets the phone call. Your mono's over there. They're having their own party in Publix, okay? But I'm serious. You know, we laugh about it, but I'm serious. I'm very serious. Be careful. Be mindful of your surroundings, okay? I want to give you some fresh manna here. If you're standing in line holding an ought against someone, allowing Satan to keep you in that bondage, Scripture is very clear, and we just read it twice now, saying that you're standing in the murder judgment line. What a reality check, right? Your pride and your anger issue is worth being judged by God for murder? Is it worth it? Is your pride or your desire to be right? And let me tell you, I like to be right. And I went down kicking and screaming to have to go apologize to these people. Did I not? I even went as far as saying to him, tell me what to write. I'll write whatever you want me to write. And he said, fine, then write it. What's the problem here? You're supposed to tell me what to write. And he goes, it's between you and God. Because God's going to deal with you, and you're going to find out. I didn't keep a copy of the letters. I wish I would have. But anyway, besides the point. Okay. Moving forward, I want to remind you that we're talking about reconciling so your prayers are pure and you have the right intentions and motives. You know, when my children were small, I'm a funny person. I'm just going to throw it out there as if nobody knew, okay? Who knew? Don't do that. Listen, come close enough. I'll pour some water on you. Okay? I don't let a lot of people pray for me. I don't. Bishop and Pastor Marjorie are probably the only two that I let pray for me on a consistent basis. Or if I need something, they're the ones I'm going to go to because I know their spiritual relationship with God. I don't know your spiritual relationship with God, and please don't take offense to it. If I've offended you, I'm sorry, but I'm being honest. But when my kids were little, I would go get my children or find somebody's child in the sanctuary and have them pray for me before I would go have an adult pray for me. Do you know why?
Pure.
Their prayers are pure. They don't know how to manipulate them. Why am I going to go have you manipulate your prayer because you're having a jack day, but you think you're going to pray for me, and all the while it's falling flat on the floor? Oh, no, I'm going to go touch heaven, and I'm going to go get a child, and the child's going to pray for me. And I'm still that way to this day. If I have an issue, I'm going to call my grandkids, hey, can you pray for me? Hey, can you pray for me? Just because they're pure and they're not manipulated. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew 5:23 and 24.
Therefore, If you are bringing an offering to God and you remember that your brother is angry at you or holds a grudge against you, then leave your gift before the altar, go to your brother, repent and forgive one another, be reconciled, and then return to the altar to offer your gift to God. When we are not pure, we're not connecting with God the way that we could be when we purify ourselves.
Yes.
And there's an amazing difference. And I came from that background that I was that guy that when I wrote you off, I wrote you off forever. If you upset me once, you were done. We were one and done. We weren't talking anymore ever. There's nothing you could do at that point. And that's where I came from. And my early years of Christianity, and maybe if you understood this, maybe you would understand why I preach so much the way I do. Because I thought I was going to heaven. I said John 3:16. And my church said, if you said John 3:16, you were going to heaven. And I said John 3:16, so therefore I'm going to heaven. And I can go be a fool.
Mm.
You know, and there was no evidence that God was in me. But I went to church, and I believed I was going to heaven. Not till later years did I truly begin to understand that there was no evidence of a God in me. I was playing a part. And I wasn't willing to make anything right. And I'm fortunate that God move me out of the places that I've been in, because I may not have ever known any better, because we had many people there that didn't know any better. You know, we just weren't taught that we have a responsibility, that if there's a God in us, there's going to be evidence, and there's certain things that we need to start to look for in our own lives to prove to ourselves that we're on the right narrow road. Just the fact that road's narrow is scary enough for me when it says few will find it.
Mm-hmm.
Few will find it. That means there's a lot of people looking for the road, but few are going to find it. And we have these hopes that all these people are going to be in heaven. But if we really stopped and examined their lives, we would be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because few will find the narrow road, many find the other road, it says. Many find the other road, few find the road to heaven. Many find the road to hell. It means there's going to be a lot more people in hell than there are in heaven. And so I came out of that background where I was fooling myself and they were fooling me. Because they didn't try to teach me that, you know, they weren't brave enough to look me in the eye and say, there's no God in you, brother. You know, you're missing some stuff. And so I've preached a lot of sermons on this subject because it's that important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have a congregation of 50 or 100 that made it to heaven than have a congregation of 300 that didn't. For there's no joy in that. And we were placated, I guess would be the word, into thinking that we were right, on the right path, when we were never taught to be on the right path. We were taught the stories of the Bible. We were taught about Joseph, but wasn't taught about how that reacted to our life today. It was just a history. We had history lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I won't give you a history lesson. That's why I show you how to make that applicable to today's life, to your life, so that you will apply it and learn something from it. Go ahead.
You got 56.
I got what?
It's 56.
Oh, we're done?
For now.
Okay. All right. We thank you, God. We thank you for being able to pray. First
yes.
of all, that's the first thing we have to get straight is you don't have to listen to us. But you listen to us because you love us.
Yes.
And we talk to you because we love you. So, Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers, answer our prayers, God, and help us to be mature enough to understand that yes is yes, no is no, and maybe later is maybe later. And sometimes I thank you so much for not answering my prayer right away, even though I wanted a right away answer. But you knew I wasn't ready for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you for every answered prayer we have ever received. Help us to recognize you at work. Mm-hmm. Like the song says, even when it looks like you're not working, you're still working. And you're listening. And we thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.